Good morning, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Beautiful, beautiful day the Lord's created for us. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? I have here 6 tickets given for tomorrow morning's game. They're free for the Fightin' Phils versus the Trenton Thunder. So they're at 9:30 a.m. tickets. There's 6 of them. So I'm just going to lay them up here. And if anyone's interested in them after the service, stop up and grab those tickets. They were given by Lisa, and we appreciate that. And enjoy a game tomorrow if you have off or are available. We also want to highlight Nigeria Fundraiser. Has everyone received pulled pork dinner tickets? According to the sales, not quite everyone's got one yet. So we have lots of tickets left. Our goal is to have all the tickets sold, 200 tickets I think we have. We want to raise $1,000, and that's a very noble goal to help with the Church of the Brethren Nigeria Crisis Fund. So even if you don't eat pulled pork dinner, $5 donation, not asking a whole lot there, but what a benefit it is to help our Nigeria brothers and sisters in their crisis. But if you are attending the pulled pork dinner, it's on July 18th, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Is anyone as excited about Sun Sparks Labs as I am? That's our VBS theme this year, and I am getting super pumped to be able to be a part of that. And it's in the morning. What better time to start your day than with the Lord? So July 20th to 24th, if you know anyone in the younger ages up to 8th grade, invite them to Little Swatara to be a part of our vacation Bible school. Certainly going to be a transforming time for the kids in our community. We want to welcome you here this morning. If you want to rise and greet your neighbors and just welcome them to the house of the Lord, it's such a joy to be here. Thank you for coming. If you want to sign in, there's a sign-in sheet in the inside of the pew. We would greatly appreciate that. If this is your first time here, we're glad you joined us. Welcome. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen. We are so thankful to be able to come before the Lord this morning with our prayer concerns. Look down our list. I'll give you an update. Lloyd Moyer is cancer-free. We are praising him this morning for that wonderful news. Pete Sanchez recovering from his open heart surgery, doing rather well, and only had a small incision to do the surgery instead of cracking open the chest, so we praise God for that. Any further updates on Pete? He's still in the hospital. He did have some fluid taken off his lungs, so we want to keep Pete in prayer. And A1C had come down at all since we were there, so the sugar levels have come down a lot. Very good. Glad to hear that news. And Mike Mattson is not sure if he's here this morning, but if you haven't met Michael, be sure to introduce yourself to him, an individual that's been baptized. He's been struggling when he had an accident with a vehicle. There's a hole behind his ear, and they're contemplating surgery for that, and we want to make sure to keep him in prayer that the doctors would be guided what the best case scenario for Michael would be. And Denise, tomorrow morning we go to the neurologist to discover the news from her last test results, and we want to continue to pray for her right leg in particular. There's some numb spots there that seem to be new, not from the previous flare, and we just want to pray healing over Denise. And John Hoover with some heart complications and trying a new therapy to help bring his heart into more of a regular heartbeat, and keep him in prayer. And of course, our dearly beloved Anna Mary, we want to keep her in prayer as well as she recovers from a fall, small fracture on her hip, and just walking more and more each day. But it's a long haul for her, and just pray for strength that she's able to get back to her home as soon as possible. Any other prayer requests or joys to share with your church family this morning? There'll be a microphone passed around, and we'll get that to you as soon as possible.
Richard Paslowski passed away this past week. I would like to have prayers for the Paslowski family.
You said Richard passed away? Okay. Okay. Any other prayer requests this morning? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your love that you pour out over us on a daily basis. We thank you for your patience with us as your children, and pray that on a daily basis we would continually grow closer to you. Father, we know as we struggle and go through difficult times, it's then that we draw near to you. But Lord, we also draw near as we praise you and we celebrate with our brothers and sisters who have had victories over illnesses. And we just thank you, Lord, for your movement in Lloyd's life, and continue to pray your blessing of healing upon him. We think of Pete and ask that you would just continually allow his recovery to go very smoothly, and the fluid on the lungs would no longer exist, and that would never happen again, Lord, in Jesus' name. And just pray for your recovery with Pete. And we think of the doctors with Michael and ask that you would guide them, that you would direct them to the best procedure to help him in his life and being able to live as ordinary a life as possible. And we pray, Lord, for Denise and the upcoming appointment tomorrow, and just pray that your wisdom would be given to us as far as the next steps as her medication is concerned, and just your wisdom just poured out upon the doctor tomorrow as we discuss her MS. And we continue to pray for Anna Mary and for John, and just lift them up to you, Lord, and just ask your healing touch upon them, Lord. Give them strength, give them encouragement, be comforting to their families, Lord, as they go through these times of recovery as well. And we think of the Richard Paslowski family and the death that happened there, and just pray, Lord, that your hand of just comfort and peace would be upon that family and friends, Lord, and just help them to feel your love in an extra special way this morning. And Father, we just pray over these next few moments of silent prayer that you would hear our confessions, those things this past week we've struggled with and we've sinned against you, Lord. We just pray and ask for your forgiveness. Father, we just turn our eyes to the cross this morning and thank you for your Son who willingly died on our behalf, who paid the price for our sins. But Lord, we know that he didn't just die, he rose again on the third day. And we rejoice knowing that because of his resurrection, Lord, we have new life when we believe upon him, that we have the opportunity to spend eternity with you. So Lord, we're praying as we travel through this life, as we journey together as fellow believers and we interact with the world, that we would be seasoned with salt, we would be characterized by our love, and you would help us to live for you on a daily basis. Lord, I pray you would remove any obstacles in our lives, any temptations, Lord, and just allow us to solely focus upon you. And we give you this time. We pray that you would be honored, you would be glorified by our singing, by the word that we open in a few moments, and just ask that you would speak to us, that your presence would be made known here, and your Holy Spirit would work in the lives of the believers. And we thank you, Lord, for each one, and pray that you would move in their midst. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, may we continually praise God for his blessings, but also praise him in our trials and sufferings, knowing that in all things, he works together for the good. And this morning, may we give our offering to him with joy out of the overflowing joy that comes by the grace that he gives us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us in our lives. We thank you also for those times that we struggle, we go through trials, and we wonder, will we ever come through them? But Lord, we know that you're faithful, and we're trusting you, Lord, with our offering this morning to meet our needs as we give out of joyful hearts. We pray that we would use these funds to your benefit and allow your good news to go forth. Thank you for each giver. Bless them, Lord, and allow them to feel your provision in their life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Beautiful singing this morning. I always love your voices. I'd like to invite John and Diane High forward this morning. John and Diane have accepted the call to be our annual conference delegates, and they'll be heading out to Tampa, Florida this coming week, and we just want to consecrate them and just pray God's wisdom over them as they encounter many of the decisions being made in the Church of the Brethren, and they'll report back to us after they return, but we just want to pray God's blessing over them and consecrate them for this purpose. Father God, I just want to thank you for John and Diane. I want to thank you for their willingness to be able to accept this call to go to annual conference as our delegates. Lord, I consecrate them. I set them apart and ask that you would use them. You would give them wisdom. You would give them guidance. Your Holy Spirit would give them all they need to be able to make informed decisions while at annual conference. We pray for safe travels. We pray that they would know that you are with them. You are in that place as they are discussing the business of the Church of the Brethren. And we just ask that you would go alongside them and go before them and go behind them and allow them to know that you are there. And we just ask that you would just let them make the decisions based upon your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Invite any children here this morning to come forward for a children's moment. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Doing well. Most excellent. Come on down. So I was at an Italian wedding yesterday, and let me tell you, those people know how to throw off a wedding, especially the reception. But when a wedding takes place and the couple leaves the church, sometimes something happens. They don't throw rice anymore. They do something in particular as the couple is leaving the church. Does anyone know what they do these days?
No.
Instead of throwing rice? No, he says. He just doesn't know. Okay. Well, one of the things that we did, and maybe not every wedding does this, but they had bubbles. Have you guys ever blown bubbles before? I love blowing bubbles. I think blowing bubbles is one of the coolest things ever. Did you ever try to catch the bubbles?
Yeah.
And what happens when you try to catch the bubble?
It pops.
Well, we're going to talk about Jesus in context of a bubble this morning.
When we put them in the water, they get bigger.
Yeah, they do. You're right. I forgot about that. Very good observation. So when you blow a bubble and it ascends into the air and you can't quite catch it, does the bubble keep going up? And then it pops, okay? So,
when the wind picks up, it blows away.
Yeah, I love it on windy days. Sometimes you don't even have to blow the wand. You can just hold your wand out there and the bubbles just take off. You ever use one of those real big wands and makes the real big bubbles? Those seem to go a little further.
Sometimes pink bubbles. Mommy makes,
you have pink bubbles.
Sometimes mommy makes a big bubble.
Makes her own bubbles? Yeah, those are fun.
My dad has bubbles too.
Yeah, they make bubbles too.
They stick together.
Oh, the bubbles stick together? Well, I didn't prepare my children's moment to talk about that, but when the bubbles stick together, we'll work on that. We'll have to figure that one. Maybe we could have three bubbles stick together and it makes the Trinity. What do you think?
We have wands that have three circles on one.
Wands with three circles on one. That could tie into the Trinity.
What?
Anything about bubbles? No? Okay.
You know what happens when they get together?
My bubbles
get bigger and bigger and bigger.
They do. But eventually, when they get bigger and bigger and bigger, they go up in the sky and then they pop. And so when we talk about Jesus, Jesus existed here on this earth. He walked here on this earth. So he was like that bubble that we see. Okay, but then the day came where Jesus died, he rose again, and we believe that. We believe that Jesus walked here on this earth. We believe that Jesus went to the cross. He attached himself to the cross and paid the price for our sins. But then after he rose again, he saw a bunch of people and interacted with them, but then he had to go back to his Father. So we live in that time where that bubble that represents Jesus, we're not calling Jesus a bubble, but he kind of is like that bubble, and he ascended up into the sky, and they couldn't see him any longer. But we live here, and we have what's called faith. We have faith because we can't see Jesus, but we know that Jesus exists, and we believe that. So when you blow your next bubble, and you have bubbles blowing into the sky, think about Jesus as that bubble existing here on this earth. And then he ascended and he's in heaven. And one day as we walk this life obedient to him and surrendering to him and trying to be like him, we're going to be in heaven with him too. Maybe we'll ascend like a bubble. I don't know. We'll have to wait for that day and see what happens. But let's pray, and thanks for all your discussion. I always love what you guys have to say. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can have belief. We can have faith that your Son, Jesus Christ, was here on this earth, and that your word, the scriptures, tell us how he lived. And we pray as parents, as grandparents, as a family of God, that we would help these children know that way, that we would gently love them and instruct them and just help them to be those bubbles like Jesus here and share the good news. So just thank you, Lord, for being with us and giving us an example of how to live this life. Bless these children, bless their parents and grandparents, their friends, and bless this church family, and just help us to live for you is what we pray in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Are you or are you not the Messiah?
I am.
We believe. We believe in God.
Jesus is the light of the world.
We believe in Jesus Christ.
Peter, one day you will die for me.
It is the third day.
You think he's coming back?
I know he is.
The tomb is now open and the Nazarene is gone.
We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail.
The kingdom of God is coming.
Do you dare to believe?
We come here this morning believing. We believe that God exists. We believe in the Trinity, that God was the Father, that God is the Father. And we believe that God the Father created all that we see around us. We believe that God the Father sustains our lives. We believe that God the Father is the reason that we can have salvation. Because God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, upon whom we believe, to die on the cross. But let us not forget this morning that Jesus lived among us. And when he lived among us, he gave us an example. He set before us a path upon which we should try to live. Belief matters. What we believe shapes every thought, decision, and action. Belief defines the parameters of what is possible. Belief emerges from within, from the inner core of our being, that defines who we are and what we do. It even can alter the contours of eternity. Belief is so amazing when we think about it. It has a built-in component within our soul to ponder ideas and concepts. Not simple things like we can see, not even things that we can touch. We have the ability to contemplate things like love, truth, injustice, and success. And the most phenomenal issues of our existence, like purpose, meaning, direction, and vision for life. What we believe will shape the course of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we're going to open your word and we're going to pray, Lord Jesus, that you speak to us. We believe. We sit here this morning and we live by faith, knowing that whatever this world throws at us, we have conquered, and evil will not prevail. But Father, we know that everybody believes. Even those who say they don't believe still believe that nothing exists. But Father, I pray this morning that what we believe would be the truth, that what we would believe would be from your word that guides us, that gives us a system of which to live our life based upon what your Son demonstrated for us. So, Father, we come to you and we ask that you would guide us, that you would help us to live a life worthy of your calling. This morning, I invite you to 1 John. We've been traveling through 1 John. We are on chapter 2 now, and we're in verse 3. We're going to read together. And I'd ask you this morning, just out of reverence for the Lord, that if you would please stand as we read together 1 John 2, 3 to 14. So please stand in reverence of God's word. And it begins in verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You may be seated. Now, I want you to think about these verses in the context of a story to follow. A man was a first-time visitor at a church, and he came early and parked in a parking space, only to be disturbed by another man that pulled up alongside him and said, "Sir, you took my place." And the man thought nothing of it and moved his car and allowed that gentleman to pull into his space. He then walked into the church and he sat down. And when he sat down, a woman came up to him and said, "I've always sat there. That's my seat. You took my place." And the young man, after being welcomed in such a way, stood up and he moved to another location. And the service went on and they were praying for the presence of God to be in that place. And this man and his appearance began to change. He was now clothed in a white robe. Scars became visible on his hands and his now sandaled feet. Someone looked at him and said, "What's happening to you?" And the hat that was on his head began to form a crown of thorns. And he looked at the congregation and he said, "I took your place." And in the context of what we believe, if we take this scripture for what it's truly worth, we realize that we speak in love. We show others Jesus. And there are times we don't even realize it when we're not truly loving our brother or sister. But we live what we believe. This week, I'm sure we can point to responses that we've had to situations that have arose, even in our own country, that perhaps we've been disgusted with, that perhaps we've questioned, how would a loving God allow these things to happen? But what we believe is this: God never changes. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He commands us, He writes to us as His dear children, that we would not sin by hating a brother. And when we use that word hate means despise, can't stand, not willing to associate with. And friends, if there's anyone in our lives that we struggle in that relationship, remember that we can disagree but still love one another. Remember that it is God's word that shines His light through us to the people of this world. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. But we also believe that He not only died, we believe He rose again. And by rising again, we know that He has conquered evil in this world and it will not overcome. But we also believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be one of the three in the Trinity that is most misunderstood. For if we believe in the Holy Spirit, we know that when we come to believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of our lives. And that Holy Spirit is where we're given power. It's where we're given the ability to speak truth in love. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and directs us to be able to say that which the Lord would have us say. So let's take a step back and let's start to live what we believe. If we believe in the resurrection, that God's not dead, we believe that one day we'll spend eternity with Him. We believe that this earth is temporary. We believe that there's a new heaven and a new earth that will be prepared. And as believers, living like Jesus does, like He did, we too will inherit that eternal kingdom. So this week, I want to challenge us to look seriously at our lives. Look at our responses. Look at our actions. Look at those things that we do on an everyday basis. And then read what the Word of God says. Are we obeying His commands? Do we truly know Him? Are we demonstrating God's love? Are we showing mercy and compassion? Are we willing to take the time to know our brothers and sisters outside the faith? For we know a time will come that Jesus returns. And on that day, we know the believers will get to spend their eternity in heaven. But many of us sit here this morning thinking even now of friends and family that may not know Him. And we plead with God, what do we need to do? And the command is simple: to love, to show what Jesus showed. And as we love, as we demonstrate God's compassion, the truth comes forth. For those that don't believe in God, don't know what truth is, don't understand what sin is. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them. But the Holy Spirit will use each and every single one of us. But in order for that to happen, we must believe. And in believing, we must surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. I think the thing that happens the most is we try to accomplish tasks on our own. That God is kind of looking down from heaven saying, if only you would allow the Spirit that was given you to take control. And oh, what a difference it makes in our speech, in our behavior, in the way we respond, everything is covered in love. And so this morning, we consider verse 6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. This morning, the instructions on how to live this life like Jesus are found right here in this phenomenal book called the Bible. I pray it doesn't just sit beside our beds or in a drawer. I pray that it is indeed an active and living word that penetrates deeply into your soul and affects the way that you live. May we turn to it on a daily basis and be guided into what it means to love one another. Be guided into what it means to live what we believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it guides us, that it directs us, that it enables us to know indeed what we do believe. We know that there are many among us who claim to be followers of Christ that use small pieces of the word and try to make them mean another context. But Lord, we pray we would know the word enough to be available, to be able to discern when that's happening. But Lord, help us to be light. Help us to show love. And in that love, that the truth would be displayed. And in that love, the Holy Spirit would convict and allow our sin to be revealed. And as our sins revealed, we would be enabled to confess and receive forgiveness. For Lord, we know when we live this life as a confessed Christian, living freely, oh, what a difference we can make. So Lord, direct us this week and the remainder of our days. Thank you for the love that you gave us through your cross, an unconditional love, a love that we could never repay. But Lord, we can be obedient. We can keep and follow your commands, and we pray that we would do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
On the count of three, I want us all to yell this phrase. 1, 2, 3. God's not dead. I didn't hear you. 1, 2, 3. God's not dead. Live what you believe. Praise Him. Amen.